That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
And good morning. That old wheel has rolled around once again. It's Saturday morning. Time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got some Wranglers here, got some coffee pouring. Ooh, it's about time to pour another cup. We hope you'll join us. So get your Bibles. Hope you have your coffee pot on. Pour you a cup and join us this Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live this 26th day of November from the Radio Ranch. Pour you a cup. We'll be right back.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. This old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And can you believe it? That old wheel has rolled around again. That old wheel of a week. And here it is, Saturday morning again. Good morning, men.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm good because I'm inside with a cup of coffee, and it's about 7 degrees outside here at the Radio Ranch with, a good inch or two of snow on the ground, combined with those 60-mile-an-hour winds last night, and there's snow on the walls and on the fence posts, and because it blew it all over the place. Well, good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
We don't have Kyle this morning with us. He's on a, I'll call it a much-deserved vacation. He traveled out west to see the rest of his family and spend the Thanksgiving holiday with his family. So he's out there. Don't know if we'll have anybody else with us this morning or not. We'll have to wait and see, but I think the three of us can take care of it. So, well, Jason, would you open up this morning with a word of prayer for us?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we ask for your blessing upon this morning broadcast. We ask that you guide us and direct us with the words and the thoughts that you want us to talk on today, and we just ask that you be with us across these radio waves. We want this broadcast to be a blessing to the saints across this land. We want it to be a blow to the snakes. And we just ask, Father, that you guide us and direct us in all that we do. We recognize that we have much to be thankful for, and we do come to you giving thanks. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We just ask for your blessing upon this broadcast. We thank you for the times that we're living in, for the eyes to see, and for the insight that you've given us. We just continue to proclaim your name across this land. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason. And from there on out, it's anybody's guess. That's kind of how Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers has always been. From the time the pastor put it together, right till today, and it'll still be that way. We just gather around the Radio Ranch microphone, and where we go, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Jason,
well,
or go ahead, John. You got something to start with?
Yeah, it's interesting to me that how our country's come from God-fearing, Bible-believing presidents to what we got today that don't even mention the word God when they give a Thanksgiving address to the country. But we reap what we sow as a nation. That's what we got to realize. Huh? Until the people turn back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, I don't think we have much of a chance.
And that's what's happened time and time again. Exactly. You know, we've got ourselves into trouble, and you know, we've got to have faith and not look at the negative, but look at the unseen and just know that, you know, the Lord's always had a remnant, and you know, there's always going to be that remnant that cries out, and it doesn't have to be a nation of people. It can be a nation within a nation that cries out to the Lord to save us. But it only takes a few, because the Lord is not going to forsake us. And that's what I find a lot of comfort in, you know, as well, is that, you know, hey, you know, when there's going to be that remnant of a remnant that survives, but when he says a remnant of a remnant, it might just be a remnant of a remnant, and that might not be a whole lot.
Yeah, I was reading 2 Chronicles, and boy, if that doesn't tell the story of Israel over and over and over.
It's interesting to me. You know, today is 11/26/2011, and that's a very interesting day is in history, I think, because it was exactly 70 years ago that the ship set sail from it was November 26th, 1941, which would be exactly 70 years ago that the Japanese carrier force left and headed towards Pearl Harbor. And that was 70 years ago today.
I didn't know that.
Another thing that happened 70 years ago today was the whole state ultimatum was signed. And a lot of people back in the days, at first it wasn't real common knowledge what it was, because it was a top secret document. But later on it got to be known as the document that FDR put into that signed it or whatever they did, that they put the document into action with the ambassador to Japan, and they say it was the button that started the war. And that was 70 years ago, and 70 years is a real landmark number as far as biblical history goes. You know, we've been fighting this war. We got pushed into that. Well, we pushed Japan into that war 70 years ago. And 70 years ago, that on today, that's when that happened. Now, following that, 11 days later, was when Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Yeah.
You know, and 11 days later, that brought destruction. And the number 11 means destruction.
Destruction.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, I mean, we're in these times, but you know, it could have been a 70 years of tribulation that we've been dealing through. You know, Pastor, he was telling us for the last year that 2011 was the year we win, and since 1941, there's been a lot of things that have happened. You know, they went from a God-fearing country back then to things have changed an awful lot. I mean, look what we got today. Back then, 70 years ago, they had when they had that slaughter, that was nothing but a slaughter there at Pearl Harbor. And it was a blood sacrifice. It was a blood sacrifice that brought on a lot of things in this country. You know, they knew good and well that those planes were coming, that those ships were headed for there. There was men that had intercepted radio communications between these ships, from the Japanese ships that were coming over here to bomb, and they knew exactly what they were going to do, and it was radioed into Washington, and they had direct orders from the president to not get ready for the attack, that they needed an attack and it needed it to be an unprovoked attack to get the United States in the war.
And it worked.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and 4,000 people, I think it was, I think the number was around 4,000 people that, you know, lost their lives there on that day.
Yeah. Kind of like what they did with 9/11, get us into a couple wars we're still in.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people don't realize that, 9/11, as great and terrible as World War II was, as great and terrible as World War I was, that we have been in this 9/11 war longer than those two wars combined.
I know.
You know, 9/11 people was in 01. This is 2011. It's been over 10 years. We were in World War I from 1941 to 1945, and then, or World War II, and then World War I was only, I think, 3 years. And so you combine the two world wars, and they were less in length than this ongoing, perpetual, never-ending war against Al-Qaeda and war on terror. But that falls right in line with one of the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, is to keep the goyim in perpetual war.
Yep.
They say that they will make the money, and that we will pave the way with our blood and with our sons and our daughters, and then they will be able to take over after that. And that's exactly what they do. It's exactly
yeah.
what they do.
It's nice, too, now that they make them fight them with their hands tied behind their back, because they can't even fight unless they're shot, you know, fired upon. So.
Yeah.
You want to hear a news clip about 9/11?
Yes.
I think I'll play it. This is about 5 minutes, but it's worth hearing.
On the morning of September 11th, 2001, 19 men armed with box cutters directed by a man on dialysis in a cave fortress halfway around the world using a satellite phone and a laptop directed the most sophisticated penetration of the most heavily defended airspace in the world, overpowering the passengers and the military combat trained pilots on four commercial aircraft before flying those planes wildly off course for over an hour without being molested by a single fighter interceptor. These 19 hijackers, devout religious fundamentalists who like to drink alcohol, snort cocaine, and live with pink-haired strippers, managed to knock down three buildings with two planes in New York. While in Washington, a pilot who couldn't handle a single-engine Cessna was able to fly a 757 in an 8,000-foot descending 270-degree corkscrew turn to come exactly level with the ground, hitting the Pentagon in the budget analyst office where DOD staffers were working on the mystery of the $2.3 trillion that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had announced missing from the Pentagon's coffers in a press conference the day before, on September 10, 2001. Luckily, the news anchors knew who did it within minutes.
Osama bin Laden.
The pundits knew within hours.
Osama bin Laden.
The administration knew within the day.
Terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbored them.
And the evidence literally fell into the FBI's lap.
That a hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site. I didn't believe that.
But for some reason, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists demanded an investigation into the greatest attack on American soil in history. That investigation was delayed, underfunded, set up to fail, a conflict of interest, and a cover-up from start to finish. It was based on testimony extracted through torture, the records of which were destroyed. It failed to mention the existence of WTC-7, Able Danger, PTEC, Sibel Edmonds, OBL and the CIA, and the drills of hijacked aircraft being flown into buildings that were being simulated at the precise same time that those events were actually happening. It was lied to by the Pentagon, the CIA, the Bush administration, and as for Bush and Cheney, well, no one knows what they told it because they testified in secret, off the record, not under oath, and behind closed doors. It didn't bother to look at who funded the attacks because that question is ultimately of little practical significance. Still, the 9/11 Commission did brilliantly, answering all of the questions the public had, except most of the victims' family members' questions, and pinned blame on all the people responsible, although no one so much as lost their job, determining the attacks were
failure of imagination.
Because
the way our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government that could envision flying airplanes in the buildings.
Except the Pentagon, FEMA, NORAD, and the NRO. The DIA destroyed 2.5 terabytes of data on Able Danger, but that's okay because it probably wasn't important. The SEC destroyed their records on the investigation into the insider trading before the attack, but that's okay because destroying the records of the largest investigation in SEC history is just part of routine record keeping. NIST has classified the data that they used for their model of WTC-7's collapse, but that's okay because knowing how they made their model of the collapse would jeopardize public safety. The FBI has argued that all material related to their investigation of 9/11 should be kept secret from the public, but that's okay because the FBI probably has nothing to hide. This man never existed, nor is anything he had to say worthy of your attention, and if you say otherwise, you are a paranoid conspiracy theorist and deserve to be shunned by all of humanity. Likewise, him, and her, and him. Osama bin Laden lived in a cave fortress in the hills of Afghanistan, but somehow got away. Then he was hiding out in Tora Bora, but somehow got away. Then he lived in Abbottabad for years, haunting the most comprehensive intelligence dragnet, employing the most sophisticated technology in the history of the world for a decade, releasing video after video with complete impunity and getting younger and younger as he did so, before finally being found in a daring SEAL team raid which wasn't recorded on video, in which he didn't resist or use his wife as a human shield, and in which these crack special forces operatives panicked and killed this unarmed man, supposedly the best source of intelligence about those dastardly terrorists, on the entire planet. Then they dumped his body in the ocean before telling anyone about it. Then a couple dozen of that team's members died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. This is the story of 9/11, brought to you by the media, which told you the hard truths about...
His head could be seen to move violently forward.
And...
They took the baby's eyes and incubated.
And...
Mobile production facilities.
And...
The rescue of Jessica Lynch.
If you have any questions about this story, you are a batshit, paranoid, tinfoil, dog-abusing baby hater, and will be reviled by everyone. If you love your country and or freedom, happiness, rainbows, rock and roll, puppy dogs, apple pie, and your grandma, you will never, ever express doubts about any part of this story to anyone. Ever.
And there's the story of 9/11.
Where'd you get that?
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's so true.
You know, and that's not to mention that, you know, we're talking about people that... eat with their right hand because they wipe with their left hand halfway around the country, and they can, and people are still believing that they put on the biggest terrorist attack ever.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even think about it, but you're right. They actually took down that SEAL team, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
And the chopper.
I got, yeah, and that was what was interesting, is the morning that chopper went down, and all those guys crashed on the and died on that chopper. I got a call from an uncle of mine, and he called me up and said, he said, I can guarantee you something. He said that was no accident. He said that chopper went down because there was people on there that they didn't want talking.
Yeah, ever.
And they took care of them.
Wow. Amazing. Nothing new under the sun.
No, that's for sure.
No, there never is. If you remember back, the story, the thought that occurred to me, Jason, when that was playing, was the story of King David when he sent men to their death, you know?
Yeah.
And there is nothing new under the sun. And, you know, the official story, oh, you know, the fighting is fierce up front. Go ahead and just put him up front, and it'll be taken care of. But, you know, God's prophet that he had there at the time was able to see through it, and the prophet that we had here for so long was able to see through it as well, from
Amen.
The 9/11 to the 1941 bombing of Pearl Harbor, getting this country into World War II, you know, and through the USS Liberty attack from that bastard state of Israel, where they attacked and tried to sink the USS Liberty in order to get the United States into the 7-day war with Egypt, and that failed. But anyway,
yeah, there is all our intervention in Egypt and Libya has done real well to establish Muslim rule.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because they're showing the videos of, you know, what's going on over in Egypt and Libya and the protests and stuff over there. And it's kind of funny. Somebody did a really good job of putting those videos side by side to some of the videos of what's going on in Washington and some of these different occupied states. You know, when you watch these videos side by side, it's the exact same thing. It's going on over here. And
yeah.
Over there, and they're trying to make it look like, you know, all this is, you know, this rioting and this, everything is out of control over there. But everything, you know, is fine and dandy, peace and calm over here. And, you know, it's exactly the opposite. You should see these, you know, they're, you know, this police brutality that's going on with these, you know, spraying this pepper spray.
into people's faces and stuff is just has gotten out of control in some of these areas. You know, and they say, oh, well, the officers are reprimanded or they're on leave, you know, and, you know, so they pay them and they put them on leave when they go around assaulting people at will, you know, people that are standing around doing nothing. And, you know, and a lot of people don't even look at that and don't see it. And automatically their reaction is, well, they must have done something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the case. I mean, that's what you tend to think at first, but you look at some of these videos and you read some of these stories, and no, that's not the case at all. I mean, there's people standing around. There's a reason that, you know, we call them thugs, is because that's exactly what they are. You know, they go around, and you can't trust a cop nowadays.
Nope.
And that's just the fact.
Yeah, it's like that Nazi family in New Jersey. Did you hear about that? Name their son.
No, I didn't.
Adolf Hitler and their daughter, Aryan Nations, and the social services came in and took the children, saying that they were unfit parents. This was, I guess, a couple years ago.
Oh, yep, I do remember.
And then they just had a new baby, and 14 days old, they came in and took the baby. And I don't even know if they named it any kind of Nazi name, but, man, talk about it in a country where they can just come in and take your kids. I know one thing, man. Social services shows up at my door. They're going to hear a very distinct sound on the other side at the 12 gauge cocking.
You know, John, you started out with talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. Just a little bit further than that, in 7:19 it says, "But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them," and it goes on and kind of explains what's going to happen. And it finishes out chapter 7 saying, "Therefore has he," meaning God, "brought all this evil upon his people."
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. It is a terror. You know, this war of terror where we send our sons and daughters overseas to, shock and awe, to blow the living daylights out of these third world countries. And it's not just a third world country anymore. And it's far from over.
Yeah.
And then here on the home front, that's right, whatever happened to the right of peaceful assembly? I don't remember these, I haven't seen much, and maybe I'm just out of the loop, but these Occupy Wall Street and Occupy places, you know, they're not rioting and destroying things, are they? Aren't they just pretty much peacefully assembling, holding up signs and that type of thing?
I don't know, they're pretty much losers that are
right, but
defacing the property.
But so much for a peaceful assembly. And then, like you said, so much for being able to be secure in your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, or life, liberty, and property, like we've heard our pastor preaching the last few Sundays. That does not exist here anymore. It absolutely does not exist in this land of America.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, you go into, now that you've carried on 2 Chronicles, read from 21. It says, "As for this house, which was exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord," imagine that,
yes,
"the God of their fathers, who brought them from the land of Egypt, and they had adopted other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this adversity on them."
Exactly. And, you know, until the people realize that, and that was, you know, that was one thing that our pastor sure did his best to do, to get the word out, to tell the people who they are. Guess what, people? The people of the Bible, the Hebrews, the Israelites, those that were of the dispersion, those that the Bible was written to, all the way back to Adam, they're not these hook-nosed, kinky-haired Jews over there in this sandbox of Israeli. Heavy infants. Why do you think they call themselves Israel Lie? Because they lie about who Israel is.
Amen.
It's right there. It's not those people that are the Hebrews, the Israelites, the dispersion of the Bible. You know, by their fruits you shall know them. Use the Bible, people, to define who and what is in the Bible.
Yeah, that's why the Israel fruit is so important. It is. The real truth.
It absolutely is. It, you know, it is that foundation of who Christ came for. The Bible itself defines who the Antichrist is. And it says the Antichrist is those who deny the Christ. Christ had them in his day, those that denied him. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jews of that day, and it's no different today. They denied him, that he was the Son of God. They denied that Jesus was the Christ then, and they deny that Jesus is the Christ now, and they were the Antichrist then, and they are the Antichrist now. And they are ruling and reigning in this nation. And they, if you go back to 2 Chronicles 7:19, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, we used to have godly Christian statutes and commandments as the law of the land in this land.
Yep.
But, as it is in the parable of the tares and the wheat, when the tares are in there, you know, the servants say to the master, who's done this? And he says, an enemy has done this. An enemy has come in and caused us to forsake his statutes and to forsake his commandments and has caused us to go and serve other gods and worship them. And
right. Well, it wasn't, 1983, was it public law 1763 that declared that the Bible was the Word of God? And
97-280.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right, John. It was just in 1983, and
I got that up on the wall
and
at work.
And it did.
People look at it and they go, "No way."
Yeah,
I go, "Yeah, I'm telling you, it's the truth."
And it's right from the Congress.
Yep, both houses.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, you know, like you said, Jason, it is going to be a remnant of the remnant of a remnant of a remnant.
Well, we'd like to talk, you know, we talk about what they're doing this and they're doing that and they're confiscating these babies and doing this and doing that, but, you know, in all honesty, they got every right to, and they have rights to those children, they have rights to those people, they can do with those people whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who aren't right to, yeah.
Until they're in a different jurisdiction. It all goes with jurisdiction, you know, if those people belong to them. And until a person is baptized for their remission of sins and put into a different kingdom in a different jurisdiction, the jurisdiction that has control over you can't do with you whatever you want.
That's a good point.
And people like to say, nobody's got jurisdiction over me. Well, somebody's going to have jurisdiction over you.
Right.
You know, and it's your decision to figure out which jurisdiction you want to be under. Do you want to be under the jurisdiction of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you want to be under his jurisdiction? Or do you want to be under man's jurisdiction, the jurisdiction that you were born into?
Yep.
And that's one of the things that people got to realize is, yeah, it's going to be the remnant of a remnant, but it's the remnant who is under a different jurisdiction. It's a different kingdom that's going to survive.
Amen.
Because right now it's a war against kingdoms.
Yep.
And Christ tells us to take his yoke upon us, for his yoke is light. And we're told in the Word to be that we are servants of Christ. And so another word for servant is slave. And so you can be a slave to Christ, or like Jason said, you can be a slave to man. It's one way or the other.
I'll take Christ.
It truly is. It truly is one way or the other. Amen, John. Yeah. Yeah, we'll take Christ. Because his yoke is light.
Amen.
It truly is. You know, kind of shift.
Some people don't look at it as light. They look at it as a heavy yoke, but it's all the way you look at it. You know, it's just like it's what got us into trouble to begin with, is we wanted to have a king like all the other nations.
Right. Exactly.
Well, exactly. Lord said, okay, you want it? Here you go. You can have it. Now we'll see how you like things.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. But you're right,
because
John.
Kingdoms that are run by man become corrupt.
That's a fact.
They always do.
Absolutely. It's just the nature of man. It is the nature of man.
Yeah. That brings me to a joke. Somebody sent me a joke that said, the White House is protesting having a nativity scene this year, and they said not for religious reasons. They can't find three wise men. They're still looking for a virgin. Fortunately, they're not having any trouble filling up the stalls with asses. I thought it was pretty funny. Oh, that is funny. Never know what what you're going to get this in the morning.
That's right. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the broadcasting studio just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Oh, looking out at Sheep Mountain up about 10,000 feet. About an inch or two of snow on the ground. It was 0 degrees at 6 a.m. this morning, and by 6:15, it was up to 7.
All right.
We just got the sun over the mountains just east of Laramie. Got a little sunshine blaring in here into the studios, and so looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, though. Blue skies, and we're sure thankful to be here. You know, got to like talk about a few emails we got. Got an email here from a Christian believer. He says, just thought I'd share a few of the things that I'm thankful for. After all, this is the day for it, right? On Thanksgiving. And he sent this out to his Judeo-Christian family. This is a baptized believer that put it out. And he says, you know, first of all, I'm thankful that I am found worthy to worship a merciful God who has rescued me from a life saturated in sin and bereft of blessings. He says, and while I cannot claim in any way wealth of money or possessions, I enjoy a plethora of blessings in family and friends. And he goes on and talks about blessed to have wonderful children and brothers and sisters that, you know, that they can get along and that type thing. And he says, I enjoy good health and a good wife who helps me stay that way. And,
yep.
You know, we do have to remember that there is much to be thankful for.
Not material things.
No. And, you know, we've gotten just this week, got some emails from New Zealand. We have many followers out there, people that get our newsletters, and some people in New Zealand put a big order in and just sent their love and their blessings to all of the Wranglers and all of the staff here at Scriptures for America. So I wanted to share all that with you. And we thank you out there in New Zealand for that email. And then also from the UK. Had a real nice, very kind email from the United Kingdom that just... you know, said carry on, and again placed an order. And we share that with you listeners out there just to let you know that it truly is a worldwide broadcasting network. And that.
Yeah, you know, I feel Holy Spirit led to say something there too in these times we're in. Keep WTWW in your prayers and the owners of that, and they're gracious enough to air SFA on one transmitter 24/7. I mean, obviously they don't do it for free, but you know what? They really go above and beyond the call to keep that is the best shortwave station in the country. And we just need to keep those owners and keep that station in your prayers. Keep a shield of light, a ring of fire, and a protection around it, you know, so that...
we're praying for them right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we lift up WTWW and the staff and the faculty there and all those that are involved. You know that there's a lot involved with that station and keeping it up and running.
Yes, Lord.
And right now, we just ask for your blessings. We ask for tech angels to be stationed all around that station, standing by to fix any problems before they even occur, Father. We want a hedge of protection around that station, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate in any way, shape, or form. We want that station to be pounding out those programs, Father. We want these broadcasts to be heard in all parts of the world, all across this country. And, Father, we just ask that you, when working in your Holy Spirit, that you target the places that you want that signal to come in loud and clear, Father. That somebody can pick it up. If somebody can pick it up on a guitar amp, Father, then they can pick it up on a lot of other instruments, Father. And we just ask that you send those signals to the places that they need to be sent, Father. But we do ask for your blessings upon that family and around that station, and
yes, Lord,
just ask that we commit it to you, Father. We know that this is of you, and we ask for your blessings upon it. Keep it running good, and just keep everything coming out of that station loud and clear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Lord, give our people ears to hear and wake them up all across this country, Lord, to the truth that Jesus Christ is King and that they need to be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's one thing our pastor built this ministry on, was the truth of immersion baptism, and we're not backing down from it. No way, no how.
Nope. For that is how you become a Christian.
Amen.
You may think out there, if you go to your Baptist church, your Lutheran church, your Crossroads church, your church of what's happening now down there on the,
You know, the new church is down at the end of the road. You can say all you want. You know, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them.
Yep.
And you know, do you exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit? The way you become a Christian is, yes, you have to believe, but we have to remember that even the demons believed.
Yep.
And they shuddered. And there's many today that believe and don't shudder. They believe, oh yeah, Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and that's as far as it goes.
Yep.
And they've been lied to by these enemies that come in, that have infiltrated the seminaries, that have infiltrated the pulpits, that are the dirty birds on the pulpits, and they believe, and when it says, all you got to do is believe, brother, just believe and you shall be saved, and that is a lie straight out of the pits of hell, because the Bible says even the demons believed. But you do have to believe, but that's a beginning. And after you believe, you have to realize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's only, and what do? You have to die. Simple as that. You have to die. But what you have to remember is that we have a loving Savior that came and died for us. And He died for us and took our sins and our sicknesses and our diseases and our pains and our sorrows. And He took those to the cross at Calvary for us. But we have to do a little bit more than just believe that He did that. We have to share that with Him. And if we can share in His death, then the Bible says we will share in the glory of His resurrection as well. And that we too will have eternal life with Him. But we have to do more than believe. We have to share in His death. And how do we share in His death? We have to be baptized with Him. And when we are baptized with Him, symbolic of His death, then we contact the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are, you ever heard this term, Judeo-Christians out there? You ever heard the term of being born again? Well, to be born again, you have to die. It's like the seed that's planted. You know, the seed in itself is really not that much. What does the seed have to do? It has to die. It has to be buried. It has to basically rot so that it can bloom and bring forth fruit and do what it was meant to do. And the especially the New Testament is just full of all the symbology telling His people what they must do.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it is summarized in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized.
Greatest love story never told. It's a good book to explain that. Yeah,
it is. Let me see if I can find an ad for that. I know we've got an ad for Greatest Love Story. Many people haven't heard of what the Greatest Love Story Never Told is. See if I can pull that up here on the little mini disc player.
One of the top 10 in dad's stuff, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. Let's do this. We'll be right back.
The Greatest Love Story Never Told is the intriguing title of a deeply moving book by Pastor Peter J. Peters. It reveals, in a movie script sort of way, the most important and least understood love story in history. It's a captivating narrative of powerful passions, heartbreaking betrayal, and truly superhuman emotions, with an ending too amazing to believe. That is, unless you're included. This book is available from Scriptures for America Worldwide for an $8 offering U.S. funds. Just ask for The Greatest Love Story Never Told and include an $8 offering U.S. funds. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. That's Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. And thank you for your prayers and support.
The set of four tapes entitled The Greatest Love Story Never Told is arguably the single most important teaching ever brought by this ministry. Why? Not because of its elaborate theology, not because of its keen intellectual insights, its pulpit fireworks, not for any such thing. What makes it so uniquely important is that it cuts through all the verbiage and all of the centuries and mouthings of men. Instead, it allows the splendid, simple truth of the real Bible story to shine forth like a glowing sunbeam piercing through the dark afternoon storm clouds. Does the God of creation, does Jesus Christ need mere men or mere ministries to help Him? Of course not. but we mere men, stumbling and laden with woes, desperately need God's glorious light. In the greatest love story never told, it breaks forth like you've never seen before. Learn how the entire Bible is actually a love story, the most beautiful, the most moving, the most magnificent drama ever imagined. Though it has long been obscured and concealed by fraudulent deceivers and crafty liars, thousands of your fellow truth seekers have discovered it in these eye-opening, life-changing tapes. To obtain all four, simply write to this ministry and ask for the series, The Greatest Love Story Never Told. Your $16 gift in U.S. funds would help to cover the cost of sending them to you. Once again, that's a $16 offering for the four tapes entitled The Greatest Love Story Never Told. May they set you free.
And you know, he's absolutely right. That series, of course, we don't do tapes anymore. That's somewhat of a dated ad, but it gets the point across. But The Greatest Love Story Never Told on CD in the booklet form. If you haven't read it, if you haven't heard it, you really need to. Hey, guys, we got a caller. Jerry from Alabama called in. He knows the number, even though we didn't have the lines open, and he said he had something for us. Good morning, Jerry. You're on the air.
Good morning, Richard and men. And Kyle, and I'm glad he's taking a little vacation. This morning's program is really a smashing success. You're really rousing people and reaching them where they are. This is a very good program, and this is what I'm used to with Radio Ranch Wranglers. But I owe you an apology, Richard. Back on June 29th, the pastor said that we should focus on reaching the remnant. And I thought he meant just the people that he already has put together and convened. Excuse me. But now I'm seeing that you men are determined to reach the remnant that's not reached yet.
Amen.
Is this true? Are you all determined to reach the people that are the remnant but don't even know it?
Well, Jerry, that's always been one of the main desires of this ministry when the pastor started it was... because that's just what the prophets of old had to do, is they had to reach the people, and they had to explain to the people who they were, where they came from, and what they were supposed to do. And so we just continue on with what the pastor built, with how the pastor instructed it. That's why you heard us praying for WTWW. That's why we, through the support of the people that tithe and make donations to us, we're able to pay that shortwave bill to get these broadcasts, the broadcasts of the gospel of Jesus Christ, out to the entire world. You know, it doesn't go just to, just to Alabama, just to Texas, just to the UK. It goes all over the world, all over the nation. And
absolutely,
that is our desire.
Most important mission, really, is to reach those that God wants us to reach. So the ones that God opens their ears and their eyes, that's who we want to reach. The ones that are willing to make that sacrifice to be baptized,
yes,
and to be a true Christian, not only to read the Word, but to not to talk the talk, but to walk the walk. That's the ones we want. We want the 300.
So, Jerry, I would say yes. We're again, it's nothing new. It's just continuing on. I think what the pastor meant by, you know, saying he wants to concentrate on the remnant is that, guess what? It's the 11th hour. It's the 55 or 59 minutes into the 11th hour.
Amen.
The midnight hour is upon us. And just as those foolish virgins, did not have their oil of understanding at the midnight hour, you know, the pastor's intent, the pastor's heartfelt desire was to reach those foolish virgins before the midnight hour,
well,
so that they do have that, can have that oil of understanding.
You know, being out there in the field and giving out these CDs that really reach the men's hearts. These are active men. These are young men, and they're busy and they're raising families and they're working, gathering their own straw to keep their families going. And they don't have time to read, I've noticed. They do have time between jobs and between work, coming to and from work, to listen to material that would bring them up. I mean, it's a one terrific problem to bring them from the caveman era up to modern today's revelation that the ministry, pastor and the ministry, have gotten. And that's a long stretch.
It is. Well, you know, Jerry, one thing along those lines is that's why we broadcast 24/7 on shortwave. And
yes,
we do have a couple of new shortwave radios available. I think one's about $99, one's about $119. We're seeing many, many orders come in for those as we've advertised them on the website and in the newsletter. And also we broadcast, you know, and we pay the amount that it takes to broadcast 24/7 on the internet to try to get, as well as, like you mentioned, the CDs, to try to get the material out to the people. But, you know, in Jesus' day, the way he evangelized is he said, here it is, my sheep hear my voice. And then he moved on to others. And he said, you know, here it is, we're going to, you know, take it or leave it, basically. And, you know, we're still trying to do that. Well, Jerry, we got two more lines lit up here, so if you had something to wrap it up real quick.
One more thing. I appreciate that. But I'm writing you, as we speak, I've been writing you all a letter. And I would like to find some way that I can send a letter for each of you. John, you, Richard, Kyle, and Jason. If I send four letters the same...
Sure, Jerry. Our P.O. box will be fine. Yeah, you can just send something to our P.O. box, and you'll sure get it and get it to each and every one of us.
Okay, and then I have a little thing in there for Jody, too. I know she handles that part of it.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Jerry.
I'll complete this letter and send it.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. And we didn't open up the phone lines, but they're ringing. We'll see if they're just calling in to leave a message or they wanted to talk this morning. Oh, lost that one. Let's try that one. Good morning. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for holding.
Hello, man.
Good morning.
It's Bob. I talked to you about 2 weeks ago, and since that time, it's been on my heart about those people in South Africa. I just get a picture of them being hungry and ragged and huddled up and wretched. And Israelite people over here don't give a hoot and holler about it, you know. Of course, they say, well, it's not in the press. Well, I it's in there. I mean, they're getting exterminated as we speak. And the final extermination of the white people in South Africa is going on right now. So I suggest that everybody get into their closets and pray for those folks and hope that they make it okay, you know, spiritually, and make it into heaven, because I'm sure they'll be exterminated down to the last person almost. The other thing is they've got a Muslim stamp. It's called the Day of Sacrifice. The filthy post office put out this Muslim stamp right around Thanksgiving here, our holiday, and it just seems to me that anything to do with Jesus Christ, especially the Ten Commandments, the people just reject it completely. And so there's two things that I really would like to see happen, men. One, that God extend his mighty arm in the name of Jesus Christ through some human or humans, like in the days of old, to wake these people up and knock them upside down. Secondly, I hope you get all the finances you ever need to continue your work. Thank you.
Thank you. And he's right. I mean, that's sure what we pray. Isn't that what we pray in Second Chronicles? That
Amen.
His people would awaken, would open their eyes, would see the devastation that's in the land and would cry out to him, would stop relying on the anti-Christ government forces that have struck them, just like it was in the days of Egypt. See if we get this other caller here, guys. Good morning, and thanks for calling in. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to be sure I was on the line. Yes, God bless you all, man. Keep on working, and thank you for all you do. You haven't brought up the subject of their big holy days of their Black Friday yesterday.
You know, I got an email here, or a news article I printed, and just haven't been able to get to it yet. But go ahead. What do you want to share about that?
I just wanted to show that you could tie that in with that the Wall Street protests and the Occupy is all over, and how simple it would be in a matter of days if they would all focus on, don't go to their stores, don't spend a penny, and just could collapse their roof. It's a matter of them, you know, if I've got a trap and I want to keep luring in these animals, I could just give them a little bit more, and those hogs will just, they'll just run into it. They'll just suck it up, take more, and they'll never look side to side, and I'll just chop their heads off. That's what's being done. And look through all of Kings and Chronicles in the Bible. It's always turning away, and that's what's going on. And they won't ever think anymore. They're just continually led to the slaughter. God bless you.
Hey, thanks a lot for sharing that with everybody.
Thank you.
And he's absolutely right. There's the little news story I saw this morning from Fox Business. We'll give them the credit for putting all this together. Woohoo! Right. retailers calling Black Friday one of the best in history. Woohoo! Best in history. Barely afternoon on Black Friday. This was yesterday afternoon. Retailers calling this year one of the best in recent history. As get this, 152 million shoppers hit the stores.
Thanks,
on,
Lord, it wasn't me.
Amen. Even says online sales are up like 39%. On Thanksgiving Day from last year. And Thanksgiving 2011 proves to be a banner shopping day for online retailers.
That's pathetic.
Do you remember the days of Noah?
Yeah.
When they were just going about, and, you know, that's just how it was.
Yep.
You know?
Along with that, I would recommend you read that Thanksgiving, the true story. I think Jason's got that posted on the web, and... that's quite a story. I actually took some time and read that carefully and reread it, and boy, that's a story that's not being told as the true story of the first Thanksgiving.
Right. And you know, that used to be told and taught in our public schools.
I know. I think I learned it that way, to be honest with you. But they've done so much to, you know, our enemy's pretty smart. They play chess and we play checkers. And
yep.
But... one thing I'd like to comment on our first caller is when you say you don't have time to read, you better have time to read the Word.
That's right.
You know, I made that mistake early on in my life, but if you're not in the Word, you cannot walk the walk.
No.
You got to be baptized, and you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that unlocks the truth in that Word. But it's there's two things that you have to do. You have to stay in the Word, read the Word, and then you also have to tithe. And people don't realize that. You say, well, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to.
Exactly.
Our pastor's taught us that time and time again. He tried it one time, and it didn't work. And as soon as he trusted God, well, all of a sudden, God kept providing, even when he had nothing. So that's all I can say. You want to prosper, then you better follow God's law, because that's the one thing in the Bible where he says, test me.
Amen. Guys, phone line's ringing. Let's see if we can get another caller. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Guy up in Montana.
Good morning, Guy.
Hey, you guys heard about all those people that are being arrested, beat up, and little kids being handcuffed, all these different stores. I heard on the radio they were talking about that and how ambitious the people are to run in and get the deals.
We did hear about that guy, Phoenix, Arizona. They, what was it, Thursday night, I guess, they opened up the store and had crowds. And, a grandpa slammed to the ground, busted his face all up, blood all over the place. And then another one, a lady using pepper spray to try to keep people away from getting her Xbox she wanted to buy.
Yeah.
It's insanity, isn't it?
Little four-year-old got handcuffed and run out of Safeway by a security guard for eating something. And the security guard made her and her dad sign a paper swearing they'd never go into a Safeway store again.
Yeah.
Well, these are days of chaos.
Yes,
and
man.
It's just blooming like a plague.
Welcome to Babylon.
Yeah.
And that's what the Bolsheviks want, is chaos. Just this weekend, somebody was saying how they were going to take a trip to D.C. and look at the monuments. And they asked me if I'd ever been there to look at the wall. And I told them I won't go near it. And then I said, you feel energy from all those monuments there. There's a energy comes from them, and then right away the Bolshevik insert spoke up and asked me directly, did I go to the Holocaust Museum? And then she said, well, you know, there's people that don't believe in the Holocaust. I looked at her and grinned. And,
really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good job, fellas. Thank you.
Guy, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, Guy. Always like to hear from Guy up there in Montana, good Christian man that supports a ministry and sure encourages us with his letters and call-ins. And you know, guys, we're about out of time. It's 5 till. We got a 3-minute song. So if you got something to wrap up, I'll give it to you to wrap up. But I'm just about out of coffee, and we're just about out of time.
Now, I just like to remind people to put it on your calendar for Branson, Richard. You know when that is, but we're planning on having a
first weekend of June.
A great fellowship and spiritual insight, and we hope to reveal some more weapons in the pastor's spirit. So we tell you to put that on your calendar and try to make it. If you never know, it may be the last one. We never know either. So,
amen. Amen. And you know, we've got a 91st day coming up in about 3 weeks. This is the end of November, but in about 3 weeks, December 17th, it's a Saturday, starting at noon. Till Sunday, December 18th, is the last 91st day for calendar year 2011. And you may say, 91st day, what is that? Well, if you go to our website, you can read the 91st day's treatise there. You can find out what it is. That basically, it's a Sabbath between the seasons. God is such a gracious God, he says, tell you what, take another day off. Take a day off to remember me. Don't work,
amen.
Just remember me. Read the Word. Give me a little praise and worship, and it'll be great. Well, guys, the lines are still ringing, but we're just out of time. We just want to say thanks. Thank you all for supporting us. This is Coffee with the Wranglers. We're on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We're also on the website at scripturesforamerica.org. We hope you'll join us for church tomorrow at that website, scripturesforamerica.org. See you at church tomorrow, guys.
Thanks, brother. Talk to you later.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Stay high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.